evening we have something of a unique opportunity. I don't think everyone should get so excited right off the bat, but typically speaking, when we give the shiur on the particular pirush in the Parshas HaShavua that we've been giving throughout the course of the year, the last shiur is given Leil Simchas Torah, because that's right before the last parsha of the year, the parsha of Azos HaBracha. You know, there's no Shabbos associated, of course, with the Kriyas HaTorah of Azos HaBracha. Given the fact that we've been doing the Sfarno during the week multiple times, in addition to just learning it once during the week, we have the opportunity to learn a little bit about Parshas Azos HaBracha from the perspective of the Sfarno. Just between a regular Mincha Ma'ariv and Baruch Hashem, there's enough Sfarno that will keep us busy, even being able to learn Leil Simchas Torah. So we'll get a little bit of a head start on the Sfarno. Just want to point out the shiur this evening is sponsored by Barbara Arf, marking the yard site tonight of her mother, Irene Schwartz. Mrs. Schwartz was a Holocaust survivor, extremely charitable, kind, very smart, and even attended medical school for a while before her family thought that it wasn't frum enough for her to be in that kind of environment. So the neshama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family are involved in. The very end of Parshas Ha'azinu describes how the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go up to the top of the mountain, Kimineged Tires Ha'aretz, and from the vantage point of being on top of the mountain, he'll see Eretz Yisrael, but of course he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And we've quoted the Sfarno before. The Sfarno says that this wasn't, chas v'shalom, a way of teasing Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you'll go up to the top of the mountain, you'll take a look out at Eretz Yisrael, ha, but you're not going to go in, right? Seems like a very cruel thing, on the surface to do. So explains the Sfarno, of course that's not the intention of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam was intending for the good of Eretz Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu's gaze at Eretz Yisrael would be a bracha, that he would instill in Eretz Yisrael the gaze of such a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, and by extension, not only would he bless the physical land of Eretz Yisrael, but he would bless the Jewish people who were going to dwell in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Sfarno, in light of that, in light of the fact that the idea of going up to the top of the mountain was to give a bracha to Eretz Yisrael and to Klal Yisrael, we easily understand the transition into Parshas Vezos HaBracha. At the very end of Hazinu, he goes up to the top of the mountain to give the bracha. Vezos HaBracha, Asher Berach Moshe Ish HaElokim Es B'nei Yisrael. And this is the bracha that he bestowed, writes the Sfarno. When God showed Moshe Rabbeinu all of Eretz Yisrael before his passing, in order that Moshe Rabbeinu bless the land and the Jewish people who will be living in it, so vizos habracha, this is the bracha that he gave from the top of the mountain. What emerges is that the bracha was not uttered to the Shvatim, to the actual people of Klal Yisrael, the way other Mepharshim understand it. I think the way, probably we understand it intuitively, and several Mepharshim say this explicitly, Vizos HaBracha, the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives in Vizos HaBracha, is a bracha that he's giving facing the Shvatim. You know, they're all arranged in front of him, and he's giving all the brachas that are mentioned here. The Sfarno says, no, that's actually not true. Moshe Rabbeinu is up at the top of the mountain when he's saying Parshas Vizos HaBracha. In all likelihood, the Shvatim weren't able to hear him. He was giving a bracha up at the top of the mountain. More than that, the Sfarno has the following very fascinating way of reading the Parsha, which again is not, I don't think, is the standard way of understanding what's going on in Parshas Vizos HaBracha. Pasuk Beis begins Vayomar. This is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, and he said, comments the Sfarno, V'kodem shehischil habracha hamascheles barzel nechoshes min olecha omar zos hahakdoma v'hispalil al hashvatim l'man tochol birchosa. If you were to ask the average person, where's the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu Parshas Vizos HaBracha, the average person would say, I don't understand. everything in the parsha is the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zos ha-bracha, this is the bracha. Says the Sfarno, no, and we'll see this in a moment, where the Sfarno gets this from. Says the Sfarno, the only bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu actually gives is towards the end of Perek Lamed Gimel, starting with Pasuk Chaf Hei. After he's mentioned off all of the Shvatim, he's run through all of the Shvatim and all of their character traits, it says, Barzel Nechoshes Min Olecha, your borders are secured as if they were secured with iron and copper. It's important to have secure borders. Right? So the borders of Eretz Yisrael are going to be secure as if you had, you know, metal, you know, strong metal, keeping the borders safe and secure. Uchiyomecha davecha. And the same way you are in your youth, that's how you're going to be in your old age. That's the actual bracha. The actual bracha is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 psukim long at the very end. The last 5 psukim of Perek Lamed Gimel. So you say, that's the bracha, so what are all the psukim before you get to the last 5 psukim of Perek Lamed Gimel? So says the Sfarno Chiddush, that before Moshe Rabbeinu actually gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael, he first davened on their behalves. So in other words, the whole litany of Shvatim that are listed off in Parshas V'zos HaBracha, and this is what he said about Reuven, this is what he said about Yehuda, this is what he said, those are not addressed to the Shvatim themselves, according to the Sfarno. Those are tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu was davening on behalf of the Shvatim, as a prelude to the actual bracha. The bracha is only at the very, very end of that perek. But in order for the bracha to work, he first has to daven that the bracha is going to work. Now, what prompts the Sfarno to make such a seemingly strange and counterintuitive statement? I mean, why would you say that Vizos HaBracha, Parshas Vizos HaBracha, is primarily not about brachas, it's primarily tefillos, that he's davening on behalf of the Shvatim? So, there are at least two answers to this question. What prompted the Sfarno to understand that the beginning of the parasha, where it lists off all the Shvatim, is not a bracha, but rather a tefillah? The first, and I think most obvious, answer to this question is as follows. If you read everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says about the Shvatim, it's all in the third person. In other words, he's talking about them. He's not talking to them. Yechi Reuven v'al yamos. Let Reuven live and not die. Why is he talking in the third person? If he's giving them a bracha, he should be speaking to them in the second person. Tichye Reuven v'al tamos. You, Reuven, should live and not die. Not he, Reuven, should live and not die. And if you go through all of the descriptions of the Shvatim, all of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu has to say about them, are all in the third person, and only switches over to the second person, you, by that pasuk, Chafei, Barzel, Nechoshes, Minolecha. That's the first time that switches to the second person. So the Sfarno understands, why is there this switch? Must be that everything that's in the third person is not an actual bracha, because as we're going to see in the Sfarno, a bracha means that you're speaking to the person, not that you're speaking about the person. The bracha is most effective when the person who's getting the bracha is actually in front of you. So that's one point that causes the Sfarno to come up with this interesting pshat, that the first half of Parshas V'zos HaBracha, or over half of Parshas V'zos HaBracha, is a tefillah about the Shvatim, and only afterwards a bracha. But I think another reason that prompts the Sfarno to give this unusual pshat is what we mentioned a few moments ago. When Moshe Rabbeinu is saying most of Parshas V'zos HaBracha, he's up on the mountain. He's very far removed. He's not in the presence of Klal Yisrael. So he's davening about them, because the truth is they're not really directly in front of him, certainly in a face-to-face kind of encounter. So again, just going back to the Sfarno, he writes as follows. Before giving the bracha, which begins Pasuk Chafei, Barzel Nechoshes Min Olecha, Omar Zosa Hakdoma. So Moshe Rabbeinu first gave an introduction. Vispalel al Shvatim, and he davened concerning the Shvatim before he got to the bracha. L'man tochel birchaso, in order that his bracha should have the maximum effect. And then he adds, Ki omnom divrei habracha b'chamaka medabrim im hamavorach. Because whenever we find a bracha, I guess an effective bracha, the bracha implies that the person, the mevarech, is speaking to in the presence of the misparech, of the person who's getting the bracha. Ka'ama amar lahem, as we find in one of the most famous brachas in Chumash, Birkas Kohanim, So Birkas Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Kosev Archu es Bnei Yisrael, the Kohanim are told, this is how you should bless Klal Yisrael. Amar Lohem, say it to them. And we know there's a din in Birkas Kohanim, Lahalacha, that Birkas Kohanim is supposed to be Ponim El Ponim. In other words, that the Kohanim is supposed to be facing the people. The people are supposed to be facing the Kohanim. There's supposed to be this encounter that takes place. For the Kohanim to just bless people who are out there. The truth is, the Gemara says there is a certain degree to which that works, but it's not as effective. It's it has to be that you're in the presence of the Kohanim for the bracha to have the maximum effect. And the Gemara even says, "Am shacharei haKohanim einan bichlal bracha." If a guy goes and he goes behind the Kohanim, even though he's in the same room as the Kohanim, but he's not included in the bracha that the Kohanim are giving. So that's what he says. Kol devarim ibarzon chalshes ad abba mosei mosidroch. The last five psukim of the sedra. Of perek lamed gimel. Hayu im Yisrael. Those are the actual bracha. Avo devarim hakodemim hayu im hakel levakish melafonov alamo. What he says up until that point, where he lists off all the shvatim, is davening to Hashem that Hashem should enable the bracha to valve in the best possible way on Klal Yisrael. So once we understand that everything he says, really before the end of the perek, is a hakdama, is an introduction to the idea of the bracha. It's him asking Hashem that he should enable the bracha to be chal, to take effect. We understand some of the preliminaries that go into the parshas v'zos ha-bracha. According to the Svarno, Moshe Rabbeinu spends the first couple of psukim of the parsha talking about the greatness of Matan Torah. And why is he talking about the greatness of Matan Torah? Essentially, he's doing it to say as follows to Hashem. Hashem, look at how eagerly and readily Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. Let that point be a point in their favor, a point of schus, a point of merit, when this bracha is going to devolve upon them, at this most critical juncture as they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. So that if we continue reading the psukim by Yomar Pasuk Beis, Hashem is Sinai ba v'zorach meseir lomo. Hashem came from Sinai v'asa merivavos kodesh mimino esh dos lomo. He came with myriads of holy angels. And at God's right side was the fiery law of the Torah itself. In translating this pasuk, the Svarno writes, "Hizker schusam shel Yisrael." Again, as we said before, the intent that Moshe Rabbeinu had by mentioning the events of Matan Torah was to talk about the great merit that Klal Yisrael had in accepting the Torah. Kedei shetukubal tfiloso aleihem, in order that his tefillah on their behalves be accepted, v'sachal birchaso, and such that his bracha should rest on the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam as follows, Hinei Sinai ba, Hashem came from Sinai, v'zorach v'hofia mimekomos shonim, and he manifested himself from different places, li Yisrael, kodesh shel esh dos, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave this holy fire of a law to Klal Yisrael, which comes, it's the reflective part of Torah, the part of Torah that one has to study, that is angelic. In other words, v'asa merivavos kodesh is a description, not just, as Rashi says, as of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Har Sinai accompanied by so many malachim, but it's a description of the Torah itself. The Torah itself is something that's angelic in nature, that is celestial in nature. It's something that is associated with the holy angels. Mi'itzad yomin shel kodesh. And it was given with God's holy right hand. Ki omnam, what does that mean? Mimino esh dos lomo. Ki omnam nitan baspaklaria hame'ira. When God gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu to give to Klal Yisrael, he revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu be'aspaklaria hame'ira through a clear looking glass, which, as not only the Svarno but many Mefarshim emphasize, is why we're so confident that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah properly. In other words, it's very nice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. In theory, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstood the Torah that he was getting. How do we know that what Moshe Rabbeinu brought down to us is actually what he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe he didn't quite get everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was explaining to him. So our understanding is no, that's part of the great and unique quality of the Nevuah, of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he saw everything, Basparklaria Hami'ira, he saw everything with 100% clarity, and that gives us the sense of confidence that what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is accurately conveying to us, and that the Torah that we have is an accurate reflection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire is from us. The pasuk continues, Af Chovev Amim, indeed, he loved nations, Kol Kdosho Biodecho, all of his holy ones are in your hand, Vehem Tuku Liraglecho, and they were broken at your feet, Yisam Midabro Secha. He will lift up from your words. What does this pasuk mean? So the Sfarim's interpretation of this pasuk is as follows. Av Chovev Amim, indeed, lover of nations, that's a reference to Hashem. In what way is it a reference to Hashem? So says the Sfarno, Af Al Pi Sha'ato Chovev Amim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that you only love the Jews and despise the other nations of the world. You love all the nations. How do we know that you love all the nations? So the Sfarno brings an interesting proof. He says, Ka'amricha V'yisem Liskula Mikol Ha'amim. When the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals himself to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, he says, you should be a treasure to me out of all of the nations. So what does that mean? On the surface, I would think that means that the Jewish people are special and everybody else isn't so special. So says the Sfarno, no, that's exactly not what it means. Uvozeh Hodata, by phrasing it in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu implies, Shekol Hamin Ha'enoshi Skula Etzlecha, all of humanity is precious in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Klal Yisrael, you'll be the most precious out of everybody. But if nobody else is worth anything, so then what kind of statement is that to Klal Yisrael? You know, you're beautiful. Nobody else counts for anything. Okay, so like, what, you know, if you're Skula Mikol Ha'amim, if you're the most precious out of all the nations of the world, but the nations of the world have no relevance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it's not a big compliment to say that the Jews are, you know, considered to be more special than everybody else. It's precisely because the Ribbono Shel Olam attributes tremendous value to everybody in the world that when he says to Klal Yisrael, and you are especially special, right, it means something. And he says, Ka'amram Zalas, Chazal say, Chaviv Adam Shnivra B'Tselem. Man, you know, referring to everybody. Man is beloved in God's eyes because humanity was created in the image of God. So everybody's precious in God's eyes. What happened at Har Sinai is that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael, but you're especially precious. You know, out of everybody who's precious, you're super precious. You know, it's not to disparage everybody else in the world. That's Af Chovev Amim, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, loves the nations of the world. So we've seen this a number of times in the Sfarno's writings. The Sfarno is very, very insistent that the concept of Tzelem Elokim, you know, the notion that man was created in the image of God, is a concept that applies to all of humanity, not to the Jewish people specifically. And even though at one point, you know, the suggestion was made, well, maybe that was before Matan Torah, but after Matan Torah, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, the notion of Tzelem Elokim is restricted to Klal Yisrael, I think you see from this Sfarno very, very explicitly that that's not true. Af Choviv Amim, even by Matan Torah, he loves everybody. Choviv Adam Shnivra B'Tselem, everyone's created in the image of God. It's just that there's a special focus and attention, a special love that he has above and beyond that for the Jewish people. And that's what the Pasuk goes on to say. Kol Kedoshav Biodecha. All of your holy ones are in your hand. What does that mean? So, Kol Kedoshav Shel Eish Das, all of the holy ones who are attached to the fiery law of the Torah, meaning Kol Kedoshav, all of your holy ones, means the Jewish people. Heim biyodecha kitzror hakesef. They are in your hands like a bundle of money. In other words, the Jewish people are biyodecha. All of humanity is precious in God's hands, but God has a special connection to Klal Yisrael. They are, so to speak, in the hand of God. Sheheim chavivim mishar hamin. They are even more beloved than the rest of humanity. And that's what Chazal go on to say in that same Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Chavivin Yisrael, Shenikru Bonim Lamakom. Right? Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. Yes, man is precious that he was created in the image of God, but Chavivin Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, are even more precious. Shenikru Bonim Lamakom, that they are called the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, on the one hand, Af Chaviv Amim, Hashem loves everyone, but we have a unique stature called Kadosh of Biodecha. Right? We're in the hand of God uniquely. And then the pasuk goes on to say, V'heim tuku liraglecha. They are broken at your feet. Who's that a reference to and what does it mean? So, V'heim tuku, says the Svarno, refers to Klal Yisrael. Right? They were broken. In what sense were they broken? That doesn't sound like a very complimentary thing. Hispalalu beruach nishbara. It refers to the contrition of spirit, the broken spirit, with which Klal Yisrael davened le'raglecha, at your feet, lahadom raglecha b'sinai, at Sinai, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, that was your footstool. That was where your glory came down in this world. The footstool of the Ribbono Shel Olam was at Har Sinai. Ve'heim tuku l'raglecha is something complimentary about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, as they gathered at Har Sinai, broke themselves. They davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with contrition, with a sense of humility. They were broken in a positive sense. And, you know, again, this speaks to the great schus, the great merit that Klal Yisrael had as they were encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about Yisomi Dabrosecho, the last two words of that pasuk? So here the Tzvarno pulls another trick out of his playbook that we've seen him use a couple of times already. He takes the two words Yisomi Dabrosecho, which are the end of pasuk Gimel, and he appends them to the beginning of Pasuk Dalet. What's Pasuk Dalet? A very famous Pasuk. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah. He commanded us in the Torah. Marosha Kilas Yaakov. It's the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. So, explains the Svarno in putting that together with Yisomi Dabrosecha. Aruel Akel Yisporach. Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiso Eilenu Moshe es midabrosecha. Yiso midabrosecha means let Moshe convey to us midabrosecha, your words, O Hashem. Shehem HaTorah Shetziva Lanu. What are the words of Hashem? That's the Torah. So Yiso midabrosecha is describing how Klal Yisrael said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to hear the Torah. We want Moshe Rabbeinu to give us your Torah. And indeed, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is then a description of historically what happened. After Klal Yisrael said, we want to hear the Torah, so Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah, and Marosha L'Kilas Yaakov, V'tiyeh, Zos L'Marosha L'Kilas Yaakov, the words of the Torah became then an inheritance to the Jewish congregation, Mekubelas Lanu L'Vonei Marosha, something that we were able to pass on from generation to generation. The last Pasuk in this introductory set of psukim that describes Klal Yisrael's acceptance of the Torah at Har Sinai and the degree to which this was a great schus for Klal Yisrael, says as follows: Vayhi v'shurin melech v'saseif roshei om yachad shiftei Yisrael. He was a king in Yeshurun when the heads of the nation gathered together the tribes of Israel. So who was a king in Yeshurun? So, if you look in the Rishonim have two different ways of understanding what's Vayhi Vishurun Melech. It either refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way Rashi interprets it, Vayhi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshurun Melech, or alternatively, as the Ibn Ezra writes, it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu became a Melech, he became a full-fledged king in Yeshurun when everyone came together. The Svarno understands, like Rashi, that Vayhi Vishurun Melech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? I think we pointed out in the past, it's always a little bit funny by Chasanas when they start saying Vayhi Vishurun Melech as they you know, escort the chassid and kala up to the head table. You know, okay, chassid domel melech, that's true, but chassid domel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little bit of an exaggeration. I guess, you know, maybe they want to give the chassid a few moments where he thinks he's a little bit on a divine pedestal before it's, you know, knocked out of him very rapidly, you know, after that. Okay, Nunu. So, Vayhi Yishurin Melech, so says the Svarno, he was a king in Yishurin. Va'az Misha Haya Melech B'Yishurin, the one who was a king within Yishurin, V'hu Akel Yisbarach, that refers to Hashem, Shahaya Melech Ben Hama'aynim V'tov Seyat Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu became the king among those who study Torah, who deepen their knowledge of Torah and grab onto Torah. And here the Svarno not only is reflecting the opinion of Rashi that Vayhi Yishurin Melech means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's also building an idea which he shared with us last week in Parshas Ha'azinu. There in Parshas Ha'azinu, the Svarno said that the term Yishurun, which is uniquely used at the end of the Chamisha Chumashe Torah, it's used in Ha'azinu, it's used in Vezos HaBracha, Yishurun is not just another name for the Jewish people. I mean, we say in Davening in the morning, Karasa Shmo Yisrael V'Yishurun, which gives you the impression that Yisrael, Yeshurun, yeah, it's all, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, it's all different names for Klal Yisrael. Svarno understands, no, Yeshurun specifically refers to the leaders and to the Torah scholars within Klal Yisrael. That's what he said in Parshas Hazinu, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, when the leaders of the Jewish people became fat, in other words, they became excessively involved in physicality, so then, Vayitosha Loka Osahu, the rest of the people abandoned God, right? But you know, as they sometimes say, the fish smells from the top, right? You know, it was the leadership who first messed up, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivot, and then that had a trickle down effect to the people. So over here as well, Vayhi Yishurun Melech, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was recognized as a Melech, specifically among those people who are Yishurun, who are the Lomdei Torah, the people who were involved in Torah, you know, the people who had the deepest connection to Torah. And that was true bis Asef Roshei Om, when at Matan Torah, when the leaders of the people came together. So when that happened, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, it united the tribes of Israel, Hayamelech Al Kol Shivtei Yisrael Yachtov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became the king over the entire Jewish people, all of the Shvatim, all of the tribes together. Sha'oz hodu v'kiblu malchusa, that they all accepted and his sovereignty and they praised him. Meaning as follows. The same way we saw in last week's Parshas Ha'azinu, that where the Jewish people went astray, it started with the leadership, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivot, and then Vayito Shaloka Osahu. When the leadership messes up, it has a trickle-down effect. But conversely, when the leadership is good, and they're leading the people in the right direction, that brings everyone together. Vayhi Yishurun Melech. First, it was Yishurun. It was the Lomdei Torah, the Torah scholars, who appreciated how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was their king. And then, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. Now that the leadership was infused with this love of Hashem, with this desire to come closer to Hashem, a love for Torah, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. So they then went down to the masses, and they brought them all together. Everybody came together. All of the Shvatim came together, you know, because the leadership had that ability to transmit their love and their enthusiasm to the people. But that's the only, you see from the Svarno, it works in both ways. You know, the fish smells from the top, but whatever the flip side of that is, you build the nation from the top as well. In other words, where the leadership goes, that's got to have an influence on the people, for better or for worse. Yeah.
So the Svarno says that if like the top deviates a little bit, that the bottom deviates a lot.
Right.
Is that also if the top does good a little bit, the bottom does good a lot, or there's not that?
Interesting. He doesn't say that over here. He doesn't say that over here. But he does seem to imply that, you know, the maximum goodness that the people are going to do will be maximized when, you know, the people on the top are pushing them in the right direction.
But he doesn't say, like, the relative, like, a little bit here is a lot there.
Right, he doesn't say that in this context. Again, I would guess the reason is, you know, the Lomdei Torah we would expect to be on a little bit of a higher level and closer just because of their involvement in Torah. But the influence on the, of the tap on the masses is exponential. You know, in other words, it's not just a one for one influence. You know, they have an exponential.
Right.
Right. He doesn't quite say that in this context.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's reasonable to assume it's not entirely true because, you know, the connection and enthusiasm of the Lomdei Torah, one would think, is always going to be a little bit deeper than that of the masses, just simply because they have that Torah-based connection, you know, that they have to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, I want to wish everybody a good Yom Tov, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue to learn together. Reb Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael.